This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Dear members of the Holy Christian Church, which is the bride of Christ, agree or disagree, weddings are fun. I think most of us would agree with that statement. Weddings are a joyous, fun day when you see your friend or your family member become married. It's a fun day to re-meet people that you haven't seen for a while. It's fun having the meal, all the speeches, and all the dancing. Weddings are fun, but sometimes weddings are not that much fun. There's a lot of planning that goes into a wedding. You have to figure out who's all going to be invited to the wedding, what they're going to eat, what everyone's going to wear, where the wedding is going to happen, and so on. Just because of all that planning, it can make a wedding seem more stressful than joyous. And then on the day of the wedding, maybe everything doesn't go well. The guests are getting lost. The music for the dance is not working. Maybe a bridesmaid or a groomsman doesn't show up on time. And so a wedding that's supposed to be so much fun can be something very stressful. This morning, we see one wedding that was not going well. This couple ran out of wine. But Jesus was there to perform his very first miracle of making the water turn into wine. But when we look at this miracle of Jesus, his very first miracle, doesn't it seem kind of lackluster? When you compare this miracle with all of his others, you know, it doesn't seem that impressive. After all, Jesus could raise people from the dead. He could heal people of their illnesses and physical ailments. He could walk on water, calm a storm, and feed over 5,000 people. Those miracles seem very awe-inspiring. But even though this miracle may not seem that impressive, we still see Christ's great love in his first miracle. Now, when we look at this account, we may ask ourselves two questions. First, how could this couple run out of wine? And two, why was this such a big deal? Well, in order to understand how this couple could have ran out of wine, we all need to understand how weddings happened back then. In our day and age, a wedding only lasts for one day. But in Jesus' time, weddings would last for a whole week. First, the bride and the groom would be married. There would be a procession throughout the town that eventually led the people to the husband's house. The husband was in charge of providing enough food and wine for the people. And so sometime during this week, this couple ran out of wine. Some speculate that this couple was poor, and so they were not able to buy enough wine. Others may speculate that this couple didn't plan well enough ahead. But in the end, it really doesn't matter. Because in the end, this couple ran out of wine. Which brings us to our second question. Why was this a big deal? Couldn't the people have simply understood that they ran out of wine and be okay with that? Well, in order to understand why this was such a big deal, we all have to understand how important wine was to the Jewish people. Wine was a major staple of their meals. When they sat down to eat, it was expected that they would have wine. In a lot of ways, it's like when we go to a restaurant. We expect water to be provided for us. Same way with the wine and with the juice. And so when this couple ran out of wine, It was not only a huge embarrassment for them, but it was also a huge sign of disrespect that these people who have traveled to their wedding would not have any wine. That's why this was such a big deal. And Jesus' mother, Mary, knew that this was a big deal. And so she went to Jesus and told him, "They have no wine." But did you notice what Jesus said to his mother? He said, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." What is your initial reaction to hearing these words from Jesus? Don't they almost come off as being very rude? After all, he doesn't even call Mary his mother here. Instead, he addresses her as woman. But in order to understand that Jesus is not being rude here, we all have to understand what is really happening. Mary was addressing Jesus as though he was still a young child who had to obey and honor his mother. But Jesus was addressing Mary as her God and Savior. So even though Jesus was Mary's son, ultimately he was the Son of God. And ultimately he had to obey his Father's will. That is why Jesus said, "Why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." Therefore, Jesus would not perform this miracle because Mary, his mother, told him to. Instead, Jesus would perform this miracle when his heavenly Father wanted him to do it, when his time had come. And his time did come. Jesus told the servants to fill up those 6 stone water jars. And then he told the servants to take some of that water and hand it to the master of the banquet. No one knew what was going to happen. No one had a clue. Jesus hasn't even performed a miracle yet. But when the master of the banquet tasted that water, it had become wine. Just notice Christ's great love in his first miracle. First of all, notice how much wine he produced for this couple. Each stone jar could hold up to 20 to 30 gallons. And so Jesus made almost 200 gallons of wine. To put that in perspective for us, that's about 1,000 bottles of wine that we use today. That's how much wine Jesus made for this young couple. But also see his great love for them by noticing the quality of the wine that he had produced. After the master of the banquet tasted the wine, he said to the groom, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." Jesus had produced the best wine for this young couple. And that's why this master was so surprised. At the very beginning of the wedding celebration, you would bring out the best wine, and then later on, the cheaper wine. But here, the best wine was saved for last. That's the great love that Jesus had in his first miracle. And so even though this miracle may not seem all that spectacular, the very fact that this miracle is so simple makes it that much more impressive. Christ is concerned even about the little things in our lives. He has such great love for us that he wants to help us with even the little problems that you and I all have. And yet, even though God is concerned about those problems, when do we usually go to God for help? Is it not usually when it deals with the big problems in our lives? And sure, God is pleased when we come to him about those big issues in our lives, but he also wants us to come to him with the little things as well. And yet, why is it that we don't always go to God with every problem that we have? Why is it that we think we don't need to bother God with those problems and we can take care of it ourselves? Why is it that when the Powerball lottery was up to $1 billion, we could think if we won the lottery, then that would be the solution to all of our problems? But God, who is far greater than any winning lottery ticket, He is able to take care of each and every need. In fact, He does take care of all of our physical needs. He gives us food, shelter, and clothing, even when we don't ask for it. But even though He does that when we don't ask for it, that doesn't mean we should neglect going to God in each and every situation in our lives. And so why do we do that? It's because we're sinners. It's because we can take Christ's great love for granted. But here we see Christ's great love in His first miracle in another way. Not only did Jesus make water into wine, He also made us His own. He made us His bride. Listen again to what John said. This, the first of His miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed His glory, and His disciples put their faith in Him. Here, we see the ultimate reason why Jesus performed this miracle. He performed this miracle so that He could reveal His glory to His disciples. He revealed that He truly is the Son of God and that He truly is their promised Savior. And when the disciples saw this, they put their faith in Him. Now, this doesn't mean that they didn't have faith before. They did. But after seeing this miracle, they put more trust in Jesus. Their faith was strengthened by this miracle. And then for the next 3 years, Christ would perform many more miracles, and the disciples' faith would constantly continue to grow. And that applies to us as well. Even though we did not see Jesus' first miracle, through the eyes of faith, we see His great love. We see Him revealing His glory, and it strengthens our faith. But there was a time when we did not have faith. There was a time when we were not members of the Holy Christian Church. There was a time that we were not the bride of Christ. For by nature, we were dirty, filthy sinners. The ugliness of sin covered us from head to toe. And as dirty, filthy sinners, we couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't bring ourselves to faith, and we wanted nothing to do with Christ. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to what Scripture says that Christ did for the church, which is His bride. Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Christ gave His life up for us. And since He has made us holy, He now rejoices over us as His bride. And just to illustrate that great joy that God has over us, allow me to use this illustration. Husbands, on the day of your wedding, when you saw your bride walking down the aisle in her wedding dress, how did you feel? I'm sure you felt great joy. And that's how Christ views us as well. even though by nature we were dirty, filthy sinners, Christ made us his perfect, beautiful, holy bride. And he rejoices over us. He made us his bride when he revealed himself to us in his word and sacraments. And this morning he will reveal himself again when he will connect himself with the bread and the wine and the sacrament of communion. Here he will give us forgiveness of sins, which strengthens our faith as we stay connected to Christ as his bride. And one day Christ will return again to gather his bride to himself. And unlike the weddings that we have here, which may or may not be fun, that wedding banquet reserved for us in heaven will always be joyous. It will always be joyous because we will be with our husband, with Christ forever, and he will take care of all of our needs. And that's the great love that Christ has for us. We saw his great love in his first miracle, where he made the water into wine, and he made us his own. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.